use your words. Easy to say to a toddler having a meltdown, and good advice, but sometimes somewhere along the line, we forget that advice when we get older and we're talking about sexual consent. Use your words, so says my next guest. Pepper Schwartz is a University of Washington sociology professor and author. She's written many books about love and sex, including, just for one, 10 talks parents must have with their children about sex and character. Pepper Schwartz, welcome back to KUOW.
Thank you. It's great to be back here, Bill.
You say that as toddlers, little girls get the same messages as boys about using their words, but as they grow up, young women get told to be nice. How do we communicate that to young women?
Well, for example, although I think we're trying very hard to get away from gender stereotypes, I do think it's changing. But if a little girl is in the playground and she pushes some other kid down, you know, we're all over that. And I think with a little boy, we're a little bit more ambivalent. The outrage is a little bit less. We think little boys are kind of like that, right? So that I think all along the way, little girls are told to be nicer than little boys are. Now, that's not an explanation for everything that follows, right? It's just one thing where we, you know, are a little bit more delicate with our daughters. I do think there's actually some research to show that fathers are closer with daughters who they take and do what they would classically do with a boy, like let's go hunting, let's go camping, you know, things like that mm-hmm. that they love doing. They do more of it. I think we're really much more conscious of these things than we used to. But the fact is there are different permissions and different directions for girls and boys.
Listeners can guess we're headed here eventually toward talking about an essay you wrote in the Seattle Times, headlined The Aziz Ansari Takeaway, talking about sex before having it. And we're going to get to how empowered, I guess the word is, typically young women and all women feel about standing up for themselves. So first of all, on this idea of how we communicate to young women to be nice, you were suggesting that we're changing, and I think I go out of my way not to tell my 11-year-old girl that she needs to be nice, and I think my KOW colleagues would tell me the same kind of thing. So are we talking about, is this something we're doing unconsciously, or maybe we're talking about demographic groups that I don't recognize myself, or what do you think's going on?
Well, sometimes they're little things. I mean, and I'm not blaming anyone here because a lot of it's unconscious. Oh, your Aunt Sarah wants to kiss you. Be nice, you know, please Aunt Sarah, you know. The kinds of respect for older people sometimes gets messed up with, you know, how nice what you have to suffer in order to be nice, right? And I think both boys and girls can get those instructions. But I think we're being much more conscious now. And remember, we're not looking at the incidents of people who are 5 years old now.
Yes.
We're looking at the people who are 25 and 35 and 65, right?
Yeah.
So I do think we'll have a better crop of boys and girls.
We're going to raise a better crop?
I do think so, because we are saying, hey, it's your body. You have the right to say no. If your aunt wants to kiss you, you don't have to say yes. I mean, that used to be the rule. Now, I think you're right. You and a lot of other men and a lot of other women are saying, I want to treat my child to the same consciousness I have. I want to help protect them by helping them protect themselves. They need these rules. Now, the problem is, I still think, if you look at the great world out there, women are told to basically build up men's ego, to try and be charming, to be accessible in a way, to be flattering. I mean,
where do those messages come from?
Well, there's this boy-girl stuff that goes, because we're also still telling guy, be a guy, be dominant. Look at, you know, which group is in some ways at most risk for being caught in a sexual harassment situation, or perhaps in a situation where they feel that aggression is kind of what the woman wants? You know, athletes. Athletes, because they nurture their aggression. They need it for football and baseball and basketball. Girls, you know, for some of the same things, although not so much football. But there is a lot more testosterone in guys than women. We both have, you know, all the same hormones, but not in the same amounts. And so if, in fact, you're in a situation where you nurture aggression, you need aggression, you're going to need a lot more information about where that exists correctly and where it doesn't. So I still think there's some gendered ways that we go through the world where, look at it, if you want to ask women whether they want to look across at a guy or a little bit up at him, you know, if you're in a little bubble like Seattle, maybe everybody says across. Seattle is not the world. And the liberal values about gender and sexuality are not fully threaded through the whole population either. But we do have a much more liberal sense of, you know, what men and women should be here. You go to the South. I'm recently doing a lot of work in Dallas. It's different. There is this sense that, you know, girls go through pageants. Their job is to look beautiful. Yes, they can get a high school or rather a college scholarship or something out of it. They're not unmindful of having to make their way in the world. But the whole culture is to be, you know, not exactly a Southern belle, but it is definitely to be charming, to always look beautiful, to have your hair done a certain way. And you've been doing that since you've been three.
You know, here I was just being enlightened, and you just reminded me that my kid dances. She loves to dance, and she does dance competitions. And trust me, the gender messages are not equal when it comes to which kids are flouncing around and paying attention to which other gender kids on the stage and who's showing skin. So I've just checked myself there. Thank you. How does all of this... let's get to your essay about Aziz Ansari. How does all of this affect the ability of women to speak up in a sexual situation that they're not into?
Well, sometimes women feel like they have to let him down gently, or they don't want to hurt his feelings, or they feel that, oh, I got myself in this situation. I'm responsible for that. And so, you know, maybe I have to just let it go the course it's going, even though I don't want to. And I think the big thing that I'm talking about is I've seen women say, well, I gave him body language. I showed by my, you know, my expression I wasn't interested, et cetera. And I'm going, well, I understand that, but why aren't you saying stop it now? Or this is not something I want now. Or maybe this is something we might want to put together some other time, but I'm not there. Or don't do that. I'm out of here. I mean, I want people to be able to say that. And by the way, I certainly know a lot of men who've gotten into sexual situations where they felt it was their duty as a guy not to refuse. That, you know, of course, a man never says no, which is crazy. We should all have the right to decision. And we don't want to do something where we look back and say, I was a bad guy, or I was a weak, you know, I feel manhandled and abused. This isn't what I expected. I think words will help in a huge number of those situations. Now, I want to exempt the situation from predators who are trying to set you up, or rapists, you know, who don't care, you know, what you say or how you say it. Those are other topics. But I'm talking in the dance between men and women, and unfortunately often inebriated men and women, which of course makes everything a little fuzzy. And it's so common with, you know, people who are, you know, meeting at a bar or at a mixer or at a fraternity party or whatever.
But Pepper, in that dance, isn't there a constant, at least low-level or high-level awareness that most women are in physical danger of being overpowered by most men?
I don't think so. I mean, I really feel like most men, if we're going to look at percentages, really don't want to hold down a kicking and screaming woman. Some men do, and, you know, you really want to be careful.
But just the danger that things could take a bad turn that direction, doesn't that give an understandable incentive beyond being taught to be nice to a woman to do what she's got to do to stay safe in the situation? Do you think I'm exaggerating that?
I do. In the sense that my own experience, which is now many, many years full of very unenlightened men, except, of course, the one I married, or, you know, but certainly I've had my experiences where there's only been a few where I had to use my wits to get the hell out of there. And I have had some harrowing experiences, and I've had some pressure applied, as I think almost every woman, you know, over the age of 9 has had those experiences, and unfortunately some younger. But nonetheless, I think most men, if you really say, I don't want to do this, and I'm leaving now, and I'll start screaming if you don't stop, most men are going to back off.
Yeah.
Now, some men aren't. And of course, at that point, you have to use your wits. And I have to say, don't put yourself in situations like that if you can possibly help it. And by like that, I mean alone in some place where no one can hear you.
Yeah. Well, don't put yourself in that situation. Are we, and I know I'm not the first to bring this up to you, are we letting men off the hook by requiring that that their partners say yes when a man has got plenty of nonverbal cues to read, and it shouldn't be on the woman to reach that level of I'm out of here. No, I'm yelling.
I don't
Can't we negotiate this in a more sensitive way than that?
I don't want to let men off the hook. I mean, I think they should be using their words too. Like, is this okay? Do you want me? Can we go further? And are you comfortable? Are you into this? It's up to them just as much as it's up to women to keep checking and making sure that they're both on the same page. But look it, if you're drinking, if you're flirting, etc., it's hard sometimes to see those signals. And yes, would I like more people to be sensitive about signals? But I don't think words are uncalled for or unnecessary. I think words are very specific. And I like words because if they're a no, it's not a bad look. It's not like I'm looking around. It's not like I'm backing off a little bit, etc. I'm saying no. And he should be saying either no, if he doesn't want it, I can't do this, this isn't where I'm feeling, or he should be if he's the one who's most interested. Do you want this? Can we get this on? Do you want to go further? Can we take our clothes off? Are you there yet? I mean, even if, you know, they're both panting and kissing, it seems obvious. What's wrong with some words? If you're really good at this, you can be very sexy about it. I want you. I'm so turned on. I want to go to the next level. Are you with me? You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be clinical. People say, oh, it'd take the romance out of it. No, it'll put the sexiness into it, put the romance into it. You know, somebody cares about you enough to check, to want to be there where you want to be. Men absolutely required to use their words. This is not all on women. It is on both men and women. But you're right, women have something more at stake in the sense that they are usually not as strong. So they have to make sure that they're with somebody where those words would matter.
Well, in California, the words you're talking about, the affirmative consent, is this okay with you? Yes, I'm into this. That's the law. That California requires affirmative consent. And if they're under the influence of drugs, by the way, they can't legally consent. Do you talk to your fellow sex experts? You go to conferences and talk about what's happening in California. Are they figuring out ways for the, is the culture changing in California that those required words are becoming sexy, becoming romantic? They're navigating that?
It's an interesting question. I don't quite know the answer to that. But, you know, when I talk to fellow people who believe in healthy and hot sex, we all believe that it all starts so much sooner. That one of the reasons that we have trouble not just saying yes or no, or are you there, but here's what I like, here's what I want you to do, you know, that's not feeling so great, let's do this, is because we're so schizophrenic about sex in general.
Yeah.
We look at sexy movies, we read sexy books and romance, you know, we have all that, and then we're afraid to ask for what we want. We feel a little bit ashamed of our bodies, maybe to a lot, because we don't feel perfect enough, and that's why we, you know, undress in the dark.
Or it's a religious taboo.
Oh, it's a religious thing, and we feel shame and guilt. I mean, that's, we want to work on the fact, what is healthy sexuality? Why not owning it? Why not feeling so good about your sex that you don't have to drink in order to feel uninhibited, that you don't have to turn off the lights because you don't feel good about what you look like, and that you don't have to win somebody over with sexuality because you feel good enough about yourself so that you can win them over by who you are and all the other things that you show about yourself. I sometimes go out and take a look at young women today. And honestly, particularly I was in Miami not so long ago, and I couldn't tell. I mean, there was so little clothes on anybody.
Uh-huh.
And they were out for a night. I mean, they weren't with their partner. They were out. And I'm thinking, you know, these are sexy and good-looking ladies, but why do they feel like they have a skirt that doesn't barely, if at all, covers their crotch, or barely at all covers their top? And I'm thinking, because we've been told that that's the biggest part of what will allure a guy, and we are out and we want the attention, et cetera. We all love to be wanted, men, women, we both want that. But the fact is that we could feel comfortable enough with who we are as a whole package that maybe we put up a situation that makes us look great, but not so much like feeling like that's the best thing we have to give.
And by the way, there's a piece of parenting that can be more challenging than the it's your body, you have autonomy, and you get to have consent, as if parents were talking about sex and pleasure and how it all fits into your self-worth. And, you know, since we brought up parenting, this is that's a maybe a harder job.
It's a tough one because the culture has its own, not just emphasis, but energy, and it's very hard if everybody's doing something. But on the other hand, that's what you are as a parent. You're there to give guidelines. You're supposed to give a sense of, you know, what you are there as a protector. And by the way, the research shows that when parents actually talk to their kids about sex, that kids who know their parents' values are much more likely to follow them.
I brought up California and affirmative consent. Do you want Washington State to be an affirmative consent state? You have to, that sex requires a yes.
Well, those are my values, and that's what I think is safest for everyone. I have to think about the fact about how much do I want to put in law, and I haven't really considered it. So, you know, my knee-jerk reaction is, you know, do I want to be a police person on every conversation between two people considering sex? But, you know, there's something to it. There's something to say, you know, you better follow these rules because, you know, we think they're in the best interest of people. Just like we have made rules about safety belts on cars. We say, well, you know, yes, it is a choice. But on the other hand, if you get killed by not wearing your belt, that other person is going to be harmed and your family will be harmed. It's not just about you. So, yeah, I think if we can do sexual health kinds of protective things, I think it's good. But, you know, look, I think everybody should wear a condom if they're not planning to voluntarily have a child, and if they aren't sure what their sexual health is and the other person's. I think condoms are really important. Do I want to arrest people for not wearing condoms? You know, it's a tough thing about how far you want to go.
University of Washington sociology professor Pepper Schwartz wrote this Seattle Times essay headlined The Aziz Ansari Takeaway: Talk About Sex Before Having It. Final question on that. What's your prediction? I mean, what do you see the Me Too movement adding up to? Do you see a new generation of women who they say what they want and partners listen? This is going to be all different in, I don't know, 10 years.
Sunshine and rainbows, right?
Well,
I think it's getting better. I think the Me Too movement is terrific because when women take things out of the shadows, when we all do, we realize that there's been some horrific trespasses against people's dignity and health and psychological well-being. So it's really out now. And unfortunately, sometimes you have change. You have to have consequences. And some of these guys richly deserve these consequences. But I also think we're creating stronger women. They're doing athletics. They're using their body. They understand power. They take personal defense. They're physical creatures in a way that we didn't let women be before. And they have mothers now who are giving them new kinds of instructions. I think it does look better for the future. But there will always be individuals, you know, who have more sense of what they deserve and not much sense of what anybody else does. So there will always be people acting out not in anybody else's best interest and sometimes not even in their own. Nonetheless, I think it is a positive direction.
Final question. You are the relationship expert on a reality TV show called Married at First Sight, where two strangers meet each other at the altar and get married. Why, Pepper Schwartz, would you ever approve of that?
Short answer, I saw the documentary that this show is based on from Denmark. And it looked like the most amazing social experiment I had ever seen. What happens when people, as they have in arranged marriages from time immemorial, start with commitment and put everything they have into creating what a marriage deserves? And for most people, I get to see their every day, every single day. I know what they said and what they did. There's no research I know that could afford to do that. I've learned so much, but I think more importantly, the couples, the individuals learn so much. Some of them are still married and they create marriages that way, but others learn all the skills that they need to have that they don't have, that they learn more about. So someday they will be really good partners to someone.
Well, what's the lesson for the rest of us from your sometimes approval of these sudden marriages?
There's so many lessons I've learned from it. But I think if you watch this, one of the things is you will learn how badly people communicate and perhaps hold yourself to a better standard and really work at saying your feelings, telling someone what's going on in your head, learning how to say something to somebody that isn't cruel or brutal. I mean, there's just every single time you see these couples, you see who is a good communicator and how far that goes and how many people are terrible communicators. And if I could put that into high schools now, maybe even middle schools, of doing role playing about how you give your feelings, how you react when you're threatened, how you talk to someone, the way they deserve to be talked to, the way you deserve to be talked to and stand up for that. I can't think of anything more valuable I would put into American education than that.
Well, we're back to communication, which is where we started. Pepper Schwartz, sociology professor, University of Washington, wrote the Seattle Times essay about the Aziz Ansari takeaway. Talk about sex before having it. What a concept. Pepper Schwartz, thanks for this. Nice to see you.
You're welcome. Same, Bill.